Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him about as with a shield. Read verse 12 with me. Ready? Read. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Last week, I started talking about walking in the favor of God. How do you see yourself walking in the favor of God? Now, we focused last week. I mean, here he says that Psalm 5, verse 12. Let's go back to verse 12 again. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. That means that favor is out there around the righteous. Now, the thing about the Old Testament when David was writing this is that those that were righteous were the ones that were doing the word of God, that were keeping the commandments. And so you couldn't be sure if you were righteous or if you were not, because you basically always messed up. But the New Testament believer is in a much better situation, because the Bible says that we have been made righteous. Somebody say, I'm righteous. Some people have a problem saying that. But it says that through Jesus Christ, we have been made righteous. So if I've been made righteous, then this scripture here applies to me. He said, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. That means favor. Favor is a spiritual force that is in operation in my life. Now, last week we looked at favor as it relates to God and us. This is the time of Christmas. There's the scripture that everybody likes to quote, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And we think about, generally, the world quotes that because they say, peace on earth. We want peace amongst the nations, peace amongst people. But that's not what that scripture is talking about. The angels were excited because God had said in Isaiah that this is the day, this is as the days of Noah to me. I will no longer be wroth with you. I will no longer be angry with you. I'm going to give you mercy and I'm going to give you grace. And so Jesus broke down that partition, that wall that separated man from God. Do you remember how in the temple there was that 3 or 4 foot thick curtain that when the earthquake hit as Jesus died, it ripped that curtain in two? That curtain separated man from the presence of God. You'll have to excuse my voice a little bit this morning. I screamed like a little girl for 10 minutes last night. The curtain separated man from the holiest of holies, where the presence of God and where the mercy seat existed. It showed that there was a separation and that man could no longer, or that man could not live in the presence of God. But with what Jesus did, He broke down that middle wall. He broke down that curtain so that now we can, according to Hebrews chapter 4, come boldly into the throne room of grace. Now, if you'll remember last week, grace is the same word for favor. In the Old Testament, you'll see the word favor. In the New Testament, you'll see the word grace. Grace is God's favor to you. Not that I did anything to deserve what God is offering me. But because I didn't, God said, now I'm just going to favor you. And now I'm going to give you a way that you can enter into my presence. So it says, come boldly into the throne room of grace. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find His grace and His favor to help us in our time of need. God is looking for an opportunity to favor us. Thank you. I'll try this. Ricola. Yeah, now we'll see if I can talk and do this at the same time. Apparently, my voice is really bothering some people. Okay. Favor. The favor of God. We now have the opportunity to go into His presence and not worry about whether God's mad at us or not. That's an awesome thing. We no longer have to worry about, when we go into His presence, is He just going to condemn us? Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world. I came to save the world. I came to create favor. The church for so long has got it so wrong. And trying to beat people over the head and trying to make them do what's right. Instead of saying it's the goodness of God. It's His mercy. It's His favor that leads us to repentance. God did so much for me. Why do I want to mess up? God did so much for me. Why would I go against His word? Grace is not given to us so that we can just keep living our old lifestyle. Grace is given to us so that we can come out of that lifestyle and no longer have to be bound by sin anymore. No longer have to be held under death. No longer have to deal with the circumstances that surround us all the time and have no, you know, before we were saved, we could not deal with our own situation. We had no ability to overcome it. But now we've got the greater one on the inside of us. I've been made righteous. I am now walking in the favor of God. Say, I'm walking in the favor of God. Say it again. I'm walking in the favor of God. Well, that's wonderful. That's exciting to know that God's not mad at me. That's exciting to know that I can come boldly into the throne room of grace. I'm excited about that. But what about... what about with other people? Can I have favor with other people? Or am I just only having favor with God? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. You'll never have favor with people the way God wants you to have a favor with people until you get a revelation of His favor towards you first. That's why we dealt with that last week. In Proverbs chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now let me stop there for just a moment. He's making a point here. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Why did he say that? Why did he say bind mercy and truth? Now, what is truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. and that we as believers are to speak the truth in love. Everything that we do, we must do in truth and in love. But what about mercy? Bind them, mercy and truth, about thy neck. We're about to understand a key to walking in favor. Mercy, God was merciful to me. God was merciful to you. Can somebody say God was merciful to me?
God was merciful to me.
Some of us required more mercy than others. But all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us were headed towards hell. All of us were under death's control. It doesn't matter what we did. It doesn't matter if Jeff was a whole lot worse than me, and he was. I can use Jeff as an example. None of that matters, because there wasn't degrees of hell. You're in hell, period. So thank God for his mercy. Now, we've been made in the image and the likeness of God. And the same God who gave us mercy expects us to extend that to others. A lot of times we want to judge other people for what they've done. A lot of times we want to talk bad about somebody. Can you believe what so-and-so did? We don't extend mercy to people the same way that God extended mercy to us. But here he says, let mercy and truth bind them upon your neck. Why did he say your neck? Because your neck is what turns your head and determines which way you go. So you need to make mercy and truth preeminent in your life. The way that you approach people, the way that you deal with people, you need to make sure that mercy and truth and love is what's guiding your decisions. Now look at the next verse. He said, if you do that, then you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. So there's that prerequisite. You let mercy guide you. You let mercy determine who you are. You deal with people that way, then you're going to reap favor as a result. Now, turn with me over to Genesis chapter 39. Is that right? Yeah, Genesis chapter 39. Just got to the chewy center. It's pretty good. Don't you just hate it when you go to church and people are just always too stiff and everything? We're just family here. We're just learning the Word of God together. Thank you so much for this. This is a story about Joseph. Now, Joseph, things weren't going too well for him. He got sold into slavery. And so, the Lord was with Joseph, verse 2. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass that from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Let me stop and say this. It wasn't Joseph's wisdom that caused this to happen. The Bible is very clear that the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. And so what you should expect where you work and in your business is that God is going to bless those that you work for because you're there. Amen. But you're not the one that's causing them to be blessed. God's the one that's doing it. Make sure he gets the glory and the honor. Sometimes we can get very prideful and we can go in and we can say, oh, you're going to be blessed because I'm here. No. Because that's trying to get people to focus their eyes on you. No, God's the one that's blessing. And the Bible says that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. You never want people to look at you as being the source of their blessing. You need them to focus on God because that's the thing that's going to lead them to repentance. That's the thing that's going to cause them to get their life right. So the blessing of the Lord was upon him. Now, look at verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and what?
Well-favored.
And what?
Well-favored.
So everything was going along great. The favor of God was working on Joseph's behalf. And because of that, Potiphar's wife decided that she wanted to have an affair with Joseph. But Joseph had made a commitment to God. And he said, I will not. See, he walked in truth. He walked in the things of God. And because of that, favor surrounded him. And as a result, he got put into prison because they told lies about him. She told a lie because you know what the old saying is, a woman scorned. That's what happened. He said no. And so she made up lies and got him thrown into prison. Now, you would think that Joseph would be like a lot of people and say, God, I was doing everything you asked me to do. I was being honorable. And this is what I got rewarded for. I got thrown into prison. I might as well just do like the rest of the world. If it's going to get me thrown into prison, why do I want to serve a God like that? That's what some people would be saying. Not Joseph. Joseph stayed committed to God. Didn't matter what his circumstances were, he was going to walk in truth. He was going to walk in the things that God had called him to walk in. Let's go on down. To verse 21. Well, verse 20, Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and what? Showed him mercy and what? Gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, here's a couple of things that stick out to me. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord showed Joseph mercy. But the second thing is that God gave Joseph favor in the sight of the prisoner. God did this. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Now, this is when Moses saw the burning bush. This is when God called Moses out for the very first time. And in Exodus chapter 3, make sure I get the right scripture here. And let's look at verse 21. God said to Moses, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourns in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. Well, this seemed like an impossible thing. He said, when you go, number one, he said, I'm going to give you favor. Your slaves, absolutely, but your slave owners, your masters, I'm going to give you favor. You're going to borrow all their gold, all their silver, all their clothes, and you're taking it with you. That seems like an impossibility. Go with me to chapter 11. Verse 2, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Go down to chapter 12, verse 36. Or verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and clothing, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. This is an amazing scripture to me. But I saw something that I've never seen relating to the favor of God when I started looking at this. This phrase, the Lord gave the people favor, it doesn't say favor with the Egyptians. See, every time that I believe God for favor, you know, when I go into maybe a potential customer, I believe, you know, I have favor with this person. How many of you kind of quoted the same thing? I have favor with this person. I have favor with my boss. I have favor with these people, and that's okay. But the phrase that God used is that I will give you favor in the sight. Now you say, well, why is that important? It's very important. God does not twist people's hearts. God doesn't make you choose to do something because that's free will. That's the whole reason he created us, right? I get a choice. I get to choose whether I want to follow God or whether I don't. God doesn't make me follow him. Otherwise, there is no free will. So God would not go into the Egyptians' hearts and just cause them to make a choice to give against their own will. He doesn't violate his word. He does something different. Now wait till you get a hold of this, because this excites me. Do you remember the story after Jesus was rose from the dead? Jesus rose from the dead, and there were two of his followers that were walking to a city called Emmaus. And as they're walking, and they're talking about what's going on, and they didn't know Jesus had raised from the dead, Jesus kind of joins them and walks with them down the road. But the Bible says they did not know that it was him. Now, they'd spent a lot of time with him, but they did not know that it was him. God had kept them from seeing Jesus for who he really was. And so they even constrained him and told him, hey, why don't you spend the night with us? And so he did. And he broke bread with them. And so while they were talking about all of these things, Jesus said, "Oh, foolish of heart and slow to believe. Do you not believe the prophets?" And he started preaching the whole thing from Isaiah on and preached the whole thing. And when he had given thanks, the Bible says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him for who he was. And when they did, Jesus disappeared just like that. Now, this is what excited me as I started putting this together. God may not change somebody's heart because he cannot violate his word. But what he can do and will do is change how people perceive you and what they see about you. See, you may not see yourself as worth anything. And for a long time, as a teenager, I had that experience. I didn't see myself as anybody that would ever have a girlfriend again or ever get married or any of those things. I had very low self-esteem. And then I saw the scripture, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And what I saw out of that scripture is, as I thought in my heart, the way I perceived myself is the way other people perceived me. Because I didn't see myself as somebody with much self-esteem, then no girl wanted to go out with me whatsoever. I can promise you that's exactly what happened, because they would, you know, say, "No, no thank you, appreciate it, but no." And I changed my self-image according to the Word of God. I made sure I saw myself the way God saw me. But now, here's what I see. He said, "The righteous will he compass about with favor as with a shield." And he said, "I will give you favor in the sight of other people." And what that means, if you will receive this by faith, is it doesn't matter how you see yourself. It doesn't matter what you thought about yourself. What only matters is what God does in the sight of other people and how they see you. And so now when I walk into a place, if I walk in looking for another customer, what I'm going to say is not, "God, I have favor with this person, but Father, I thank you for giving me favor in the sight of the person that I'm going to see." Amen. And what that means is, it doesn't matter what's happened. Come here, Justin. Come here, Nick. Stand right here. Stand right here beside him, please. All right. Two young guys. Two pretty good looking guys. Amen. All right. All right. Gerard, I need you for a minute, please. Gerard, stand right here. You're my customer. Okay. See these two fine looking guys right here? Yeah, he's not going to say anything. All right. So here I am. I'm going to go meet with Gerard. But see, something's going before me. It's called favor. See, if it's compassing me about, it means favor gets to Gerard before I ever get there. That's okay. Y'all can hug. It's all right. Favor has gone before me. I don't have to prepare the way. Favor's taking care of it for me. All right, you see that? What's the first thing that Gerard sees? He's never met me before in his life. The first thing he sees is not the fact that maybe I was a little nervous about this meeting. Maybe not the fact that I wasn't sure exactly what to say. No. The first thing that hits him is the favor of God. And God is already working and on his eyes. And so when I walk through the door, he don't just see some bald guy with a beard or something like that. He sees something special about me. He said, "I've never seen anybody quite like that." Because what God is doing is he's allowing Gerard to see a little bit into the spirit realm and seeing who I am in Christ. And so as I get there, favor has already done the job for me. Hallelujah. You guys can sit down. Thank you very much. Now, the only way this operates, turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved what? Through faith. Now, what did I tell you grace was? As favor. As the favor of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But the key here is verse 8. You have access into the favor of God through faith. Every promise of God is received by whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it. In other words, we have a promise. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. By his stripes, I was healed. But how many of you know there's a lot of sick Christians out there today? Why are they sick? There's a lot of Christians that don't believe that scripture. They believe that healing passed away when the last disciple died for some reason. And say they don't believe in God, or they believe that God will heal if he wants to, but they don't believe that he will all the time. It's really up to God whether you live or die, or whether you get sick or whether you don't. There's no responsibility that is given to the individual when the Bible says that we have access into this grace, that we stand through faith. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is what activates the promise of God in my life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It says he that comes to God. Let's turn over there and look at this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let me bring this to a close. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must, not should, must. Showing that us that faith is a must in our life. You must believe that he is. You must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't believe that he rewards those that diligently seek him, you shall have no rewards. But if you believe, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now your favor works the same way. God compasses the righteous about with favor as a shield, but that favor will not work on your behalf if you don't believe that it will. If you don't have faith in the word of God concerning the favor of God in operation in your life, then you will just exist like everybody else does in the world. Everybody that is trying to go to the same job, you got as much of a chance as everybody else. But favor will cause you to rise above that pool of people. You got somebody that is interviewing 10 different people. They got to make a decision. Of the 10 people, which one am I going to hire? Now, if you don't believe God for favor, then your odds are 1 in 10. But if you believe that favor has gone before you, I don't care who they saw the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. When you walk through the door, favor hits them. They see something about you and they say, that's the one. What they saw then caused them to make a choice. God didn't cause them to make the choice, but he caused what they saw to affect their decision-making process. Believe God that everywhere you go, people, God gives you favor in their sight. Everywhere you go, favor with God and man. The Bible says that Jesus, as a boy, as he was being raised up, as he grew in favor. He grew in wisdom. That's the same Jesus on the inside of us. Grow in favor. Expect favor. But I'm telling you, when you visualize and see that God is changing the way people perceive you and see you, it will change. It will change your outlook on life. Let me close with a testimony. She's not here this morning, but my cousin, who's a little bit shy, Kristen, she's been sitting over here with mom and dad. And so maybe a lot of you haven't even noticed that she's over there. You've maybe never had an opportunity to really talk to her. She's got red hair. And what happened is that, and this is one of my cousins on my mother's side that I've never spent a lot of time with over the years. I mean, we just never, you know, spent a lot of time. So I didn't really know her that well. We had an opportunity to sit down and talk with her at a get-together back in July, at a family get-together. And I started sharing some things with her and talking to her about the Holy Spirit. And she expressed, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I said, hey, come to church. I got the lady that'll, man, she'll lead you right into it. I mean, you know, Miss Thelma Jean, she just took her right into it. I mean, it didn't take no time. And Kristen, the very next day, I mean, God was just changing some things about her. And the very next day, she said, in the middle of the day, I just started praying in the Spirit. And I just felt burning on the inside. And I felt warm rain come on the outside. And it was just amazing to watch her experience as she has moved into the things of God. But in her own personal life, in her own situation, the place that she worked, they were closing down the office that she worked in, and they wanted to move her to the home office in Chicago. And she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, I said, you need to pray and you need to get the mind of God on it. And so the more she prayed, and she would go up to Chicago, and the more she prayed, she really felt like the Lord was saying, this is not the move for you. This is not the move for you. But Kristen was having a little issue, and that is the security of her paycheck. God was telling her, you need to tell him you're not going. But she knew that when she did, she would lose her job. And she knew that when she lost her job, she had no other options. She had no other job in place or anything like that. And so I just talked to her. I said, you know, at some point, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to hold on to the paycheck? Or are you going to obey what you know God has told you to do? She said, yeah, but I won't have a job. I said, it don't matter. What did God tell you to do? It's a little something we like to call stepping out on faith. And so me and mom and one of my aunts, I mean, we've just been sharing with her. And sharing with her. Well, let me tell you what happened. Something came, I'm not exactly sure how. She was talking to somebody. They put her in touch with Alabama Power. Alabama Power, she called about a job there, and the guy looked at her resume and said, you know what? I don't think this is the job for you. There's another job that I want you to apply for. So she did. So she sent in the resume, stuff like that. Week after week, she kept coming in. She goes, I just feel bad. I just feel bad. I just know that I'm supposed to quit my job. I said, I don't know what else to tell you, Kristen, except obey God. I mean, if you want me to make you feel better because you're being disobedient to him, I said, you come to the wrong place. I said, you will never get peace until you step out in faith and do what God told you to do. All right, I'm going to do it this week. That happened 2 or 3 weeks in a row. Finally, Monday, a week ago, maybe, or Monday, 2 weeks ago, I don't remember which now, she did. She called the people. She told them, I'm not coming to Chicago, and I'm going to turn in my resignation. And after she got off the phone, she called me. I said, how do you feel? She goes, I feel terrible. She said, I feel like the worst person in the world because they wanted me to come to Chicago. I said, it doesn't matter what the opinion of man is. It only matters what the opinion of God is. You shouldn't feel bad because somebody else had a different opinion about you. My question is, what is God's opinion about you? You have obeyed him. She said, I have an interview on Thursday. I'm believing God. I don't know what to do. All along the way, God had given her specific scripture. She started praying about, what do I say? God took her to a scripture that says, in that moment, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that moment, I'm going to give you the words to say. She goes, okay, there's my word from God. I'm talking about, this is a lady that has never really stepped out on faith in her entire life. I'm watching this walk out. It's a powerful testimony. When she's here next time, I'll let her tell a little bit more about what God has done in her life. So she walks into the interview. Now they're interviewing 10 different people. There's 5 people that is right there that's interviewing her. She walks in and she just starts talking about some things that she has no idea why she's even talking about them. But when she got through, she said, I don't know why I said some of the things I said, but I said it. So, you know, I think it went fine. They called her back the following Tuesday. They told her, they said, as soon as you left the office, we all looked at her and said, that's the one. They still had to interview more people. They'd interviewed people before her, but God had prepared the way. God had already given her favor in their sight. And when she walked in, they saw something about her and they said, that's the one that we want. Hallelujah. There's no substitute for living by faith. There's no substitute for obeying God. And I told Kristen, I said, see, what if you had been obedient a month or 2 months before and had quit your job and stepped out on faith? God would have provided something for you. But he had to wait because you could have messed it up by going on the interview and staying with the job because you weren't willing to trust him completely. Now, that's not to tell you all go out and quit your job. You got to know that you know that you know that that's what God said to do. But the point is when you live by faith, when you do what God says, that favor goes before you. Stand up with me, please. And like I said, she sent me a whole email that details everything, but because of time, I don't have a chance to go through it. It is just amazing to watch God perform miraculous things in her life, miraculous things in your life. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for just a moment. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In my spirit, what I see is that there are things that many of you have been believing God for that you've been wondering why it's taken so long. And I don't know why. I can only tell you what I'm hearing in my spirit. Is that there is a connection to the things that you're believing God for and what I just shared this morning about the favor of God, but primarily the favor as it relates to God giving you favor in the sight of other people. And what I see is that an explosion of favor in the sight of other people is about to take place in your lives. Thank you, Lord. It'll only take place on those that will receive it, those that will believe it. Now think about this. The Egyptians or the Israelites would not have had favor with the Egyptians if they had not stepped out and gone and asked to borrow all their gold and all their silver. Moses told them to do it, but what if they said, I'm not going to do that? They're just going to say no. What if they were afraid of the rejection that they more than likely was going to get? And it kept them from stepping out and obeying the word of God. Now listen. Favor will only happen in your obedience to God, and that means you got to step out and be willing to step out and do some things that may not be comfortable for you. But if you'll believe that God is giving you favor in the sight of the people that you're going to tell, then you'll have the manifestation of the thing that you've desired. Don't expect God just to do something without you having to obey Him first and to step out and do something. We want this to be so easy and require no effort on our part. And God says, those that believe me are the ones that'll step out. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. I just saw in my spirit, I can't explain it any way, other way except an explosion of favor. An explosion of favor. Now, there'll be some here that may not believe that. Okay, well, then you're not going to get it. Who's going to receive an explosion of favor in the sight of other people? I will. Repeat this after me. Father God. Lord, I receive favor in the sight of other people. Father, I thank you for giving me that favor. And I believe your word. I'll let mercy and truth, I'll let mercy and truth lead me. I'll walk in the wisdom of God. I receive that favor in Jesus' name. It compasses me about like a shield. It prepares my way. Thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.